here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome to live coaching for side hustlers. And I want to acknowledge all of you who are here live. That speaks volumes about you and your character. Clearly something drew you here today and you're seeking some answers, or perhaps you're just curious. You know, what are some of the questions that other business owners are asking? Perhaps there are some things that you feel like, oh my gosh, if I could just figure this one thing out, I know I'd go to a whole new level. And I'm definitely here to serve. A little bit about my background. I am a certified coach. I also am CEO of two companies and co-CEO of a tech startup. In the world of sales and marketing, I've built sales teams that have generated over $1.7 billion in sales. So, you know, from a coaching perspective, I don't see clients privately, but during this entire time of crisis, this was something that I chose to do just in terms of giving back to the small business community, because I think we'd all agree that small business owners are truly the backbone of any economy. And so with that, I would love to answer your questions. And so before I do, I just do have one quick announcement, and I am going to, we have the amazing Tisha here, who is the COO of Step Into Your Power. So she is going to make sure that the people who are muted are supposed to be muted and it's all good. There is an amazing new book out. I just ordered it, and it is really about generating traffic. So generating traffic to your websites, generating traffic to your landing pages. And so it's a book by the amazing Russell Brunson, and you can get it. Let me just show you where. If you go to www.agency8.com and /traffic. So agency8.com/traffic. And so I love Russell's books because he has been there. He's done that. He, some of you might not know, he grew a very successful direct sales business. He's grown small businesses. He is really the master when it comes to selling online. And there are a lot of people who pretend that they know what they're talking about. And he really, really does. Outstanding quality in terms of what he shares. So if you go to agency8.com/traffic, you can get your book for free and you just pay for shipping. So how cool is that? You know, this is a great gift to give yourself. And I always feel that learning is a wonderful thing that we always want to be doing, because we're either growing or we're not. And if we're not growing, our revenues aren't growing, our businesses aren't growing, we're not able to serve at the level we want to serve. So agency8.com/traffic, that's where you get your book. You can definitely share that link. All right, with that, let's start with the first question. Okay. Okay, so I have to scroll back and take a look at some of the questions that we have going. Okay, so one of the questions, how to contact someone to offer health products. So, you know, it again, there, you know, that's that question is a bit vague. So it was chatted privately. So I'm going to try and narrow that. Right now, when we're prospecting for any kind of business, there are a lot of emotions out there. And I have mentored many, many, many people. In fact, I've been running throughout the last couple of months, I've been running a 3-time per week mentoring group. And I have so many people that are having massive success with what I'm about to share with you. Okay. So it doesn't matter if it is a health product. It doesn't matter what it is that you have. You have to be a good human. So you're going to do that in 3 steps. One, you are going to, the first point of contact is reaching out and letting people know that you actually care. So if you are doing kind of old school direct message prospecting, then, you know, whether it's on Facebook or it's on Instagram or it's on LinkedIn, hey, you know, and if you know the person, they're in your warm market, I might say, hey, Bethany, I know we haven't spoken in a couple of years. Lots is going on. Lots of things are going on, but I'm just checking in to see how you're doing. Being a good human. That's step one. Step two is now to physically take it from a direct messaging kind of conversation to a physical FaceTime, Zoom, phone conversation. So taking it from that to scheduling an appointment where you're having a conversation. So let's say Bethany and I haven't spoken in a long time. I might say, Bethany, you know, just want to check in, see how you're doing, let her chat, you know, what have you been up to, loving your social media. And then I might say, so I am not sounding disrespectful, I'm just gauging the temperature of the conversation. Then phase three would be to ask perhaps for a referral. So I might say, Bethany, it's so great to catch up with you. And during this period of time, I've been giving my life a lot of thought, and I've been kind of dabbling in my business. And, you know, the reality is I need to take my plan B to a plan A, and I'm looking for referrals, and I respect you and I admire you. And I'm looking for people who want to, you know, whatever your health product does, they want to lose weight, they want to sleep through the night, they want to have better skin, they want to, you know, so on and so forth, right? So those are it's the three steps. And I want you to think about that, because in asking for referrals, and write this down, when you're asking for referrals, it takes some of the pressure off. Now, that's if you're going old school, kind of I'm direct messaging a bunch of my friends on Facebook. So that's what I would suggest there. Okay. When it comes to marketing at the digital agency, I own Agency 8, we teach people how to market by growing lists so that you're not just kind of throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping some of it sticks. You want to always be taking your leads from social media onto your own list. The reason several of you are here is because you are on my list and I don't spam you. Yesterday I made a video for you. It's just having that connection, because once someone gives you permission and they say, hey, we're coming off, you know, we are, you know, social media connections, but now I actually want to hear what it is you have to say. And your list could be about tips. It could be about recipes. It could be about exercises. It could be all sorts of things. Now you have a captive audience, and that's a whole different come from. I also want to share just a very quick story that happened this week. So I had been talking about a tale of two businesses and on last coaching session. And I shared how at the yoga studio I go to, as soon as the governor lifted the sanctions that people could, you know, go back to yoga, Pilates, and that kind of thing, the studio emailed out like within, I think, 5 minutes. And I spoke to the owner, my friend Amy, this week. And I said, tell me about that. And she said, Susan, the moment I heard we were shutting down, I wrote an email to my email list, so all of the clients and customers, and I put it in a draft. And the email was, great news, guys, we're open again. This is the schedule. She was so intentional. She could seize the moment. So the moment they were open, she hit a button, and all of the first day, it was totally full. There was not like they had socially distanced everyone, but there was no spots available. And I was just there this morning, and they do such a good job communicating. Now, if they had only been relying on Instagram, which is their main social platform, they wouldn't have had the same result. The other thing, they've been voted the top yoga studio in Phoenix, so one of the largest cities in America, 2 years in a row since they opened, because they're using social media, yes, but they're also directly communicating with their list. Hey, if you haven't voted, you know, we're up again for best yoga studio in the Valley. So I want you all to think about that, because in, you know, the times we're living in now, there are a lot of things on social media that are very distracting for people, and that if you aren't able to communicate directly through text messaging and through email marketing, your stuff that you're putting out is just going to be part of all the noise that's there. Does that make sense? Hopefully that's helpful to the person who asked and other people as well. All right. I've got another question. Okay. So a question is, in 2020, when publishing a book, do you recommend we seek out a publisher or self-publish? If you seek out a publisher, can you provide tips where to start? So that's a great question. A lot of people want to publish and write a book. All right. And so one of the things, if that's your dream to do it, what we're seeing a lot now is self-publishing or publishing on demand. The days of the bookstore, sadly, a bookstore is one of my favorite retail places to go. I find them very relaxing. I don't know about any of you. Those days are going. And so, you know, unfortunately, as those days go, so does the traditional bookseller, book publisher route go. So if you're going to, there are different ways you can go about it. So there's, for example, there's a company that did, I think, David Goggins' last book. So David Goggins, he was the Navy SEAL who went to live with Jesse Itzler. I had Jesse on my show. His wife is Sarah Blakely, who started Spanx. So David, his book was put together by this small publishing house. He would have paid probably around $20,000 to $40,000, and it was their job to also get it on the Amazon lists and get it out in front of people. And then on top of it, you might pay anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a month for a PR agent to be promoting your book, getting you on podcast shows, getting you on radio and media and stuff like that. So that, if the self-publishing route, that's how much you're going to spend. And I just want to be realistic. There are other lower ways to go about it. If you can find a publisher who's willing to publish your book, but the PR is going to be entirely up to you. And that's going to come down to your marketing budget. It's going to come down to your list. And write this down, everyone. The bigger your list, the more money you make, right? So if I was going to self-publish a book, as long as my list is big enough, I can probably get a really solid ROI and drive those sales all the way up to get me on a top list on Amazon. Now, Jessica, you're in a category that on, say, Amazon, let's say Jessica wanted to be number one on Amazon. Because she's an autism consultant, that's a category. There's other people in the autism space, but let's say she was going to categorize her book when she put it up on Amazon, and Amazon has a print on demand program you should check out. And she has some very niche subcategories. So let's say it was, how dads can help their autistic children or whatever, or, help, I'm a dad with an autistic son or whatever. So she's now going in subcategories that, this is how I ended up on 6 Amazon best-selling categories in one of my books. So she's going in these niche categories. And then, so what she can do is on the day the book is released, she's emailing her list. She's asking all of her influential friends to share the book. That week she's doing probably anywhere from 8 to 10 interviews a day, podcasts, radio, television, everything. And that's how you drive your book to number one. It's kind of doing it in a very niche subcategory. If you're going to go to a publisher, what they're going to ask you is this: how are you going to sell your first 10,000 books? And they now, publishers are going to look at your social media. How many people do you have? How big is your email list? Who's going to mail for you? So my friend is Tony Robbins' son, Jarek. And so Jarek, and I were talking because he was releasing a book a few years ago. And he's like, Susan, I was just in New York. And, even though my dad is Tony, they're like, hey, how are you going to sell your first 10,000 books? And he's like, I had to have a plan. I had to show them all my email list, all of my social media followers, everything. So I would just say, if you're going to self-publish, there's a good, better, best. You might do the Amazon printing on demand. You might go to the publisher. If you're going to go to a smaller publishing house, as I said, it's going to cost you $20,000 to $40,000 just to get it out the door. And there's no guarantees it's going to make a list. Okay, that answers that question. Hopefully that blessed someone else too. That was a great question, Jess. Okay, so another question that came up is, what are some of the best ideas for an influential person to give you a shout out or recognition? Okay, ask. So the first thing is ask, and the second thing is the law of reciprocity. So the law of reciprocity is, what can I do for you? So a lot of times, like I know for myself on say LinkedIn or whatever, I just get slammed. I've even stopped going on LinkedIn lately because when LinkedIn changed the settings, my whole inbox is now just people trying to sell me stuff. And I used to actually respond back to some of them and say, this is not the way you sell. But anyhow, when someone is an influencer, if you don't really know them or don't know them that well, you know, one of the things to first and foremost to do is do something for them. So Lisa, you might say something like this. You might DM someone and say, oh my gosh, you know, I loved your story and I just shared it to my story because I really wanted to get your content out to my audience. Now, if someone I didn't know said that to me, I'd be like, oh, that's great. You know, thank you. And then that way you now have an in to be able to say something like, hey, you know, next week I'm going to be releasing a new podcast. I'm going to be doing whatever. Would you be open to being a guest? Would you be open to giving me a shout out? Would you be open? And the worst thing they're going to say is no. Last week we had Casey Adams, who popped by the show or by the coaching. Casey is the number one, Gen Z podcaster in the world, Rise of the Young. So Casey, one of the things on Saturday, he will DM 50 people just to set up 5 interviews. Now he doesn't have to. When he first started, when he was 17 years old, no one knew who Casey was. And so part of it was, you know, he had to DM, you know, 50 people, he might get one interview. Now, because he has more recognition and he's interviewed Larry King and Mae Musk and a whole bunch of other people, he's on a mission to interview, I think, 100 billionaires right now. So Casey doesn't have to do that because he's building his credibility. So hopefully that answers that. All right. Okay. Someone's asking, you know, how do I get out of my own way? I have all this knowledge of how to grow my network marketing business, but I feel paralyzed to move into action. And that can happen in any business, right? And this question comes up every single week in live coaching. Every single week. How do I get out of my own way? I'm going to say a few things, okay? One is this. If you're in your own way, chances are you either have a fear of failure or you have a fear of success. And more often than not, it's actually a fear of success. And I'll talk about that. So many people think rejection is the biggest fear, right? It's not. As children, we were born with only two fears, the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. And all of our other fears have been, you know, contrived, I guess. The biggest thing about the fear of success, when we're getting in our own way, it's usually because of this. And I'm going to show this to you if you're watching, that a friend and mentor of mine taught me this. It's like you have one hand out going, get started with me, use my business, my service, whatever, and another hand up going, don't get started with me. And the reason this hand is up is for the following reasons. One, you feel guilty about taking money. Number two, you feel responsible for the success of others. Now, if you feel guilty about taking money, then something I want you to really think deeply about is this. We were meant to be prosperous because it is written, you know, that we're supposed to be helping other people. How are you supposed to truly help other people unless you have money? And you know, Diana, who's the president of Agency Aid, is here, and she once said, Susan, if you have a problem money can solve and you have money, you don't have any problems. And the reality is that money if you're a good person and you get money, you're going to do good things with money. But if you're a horrible person and you get money, you're going to do horrible things. I don't think any of you are horrible people. I'm not sure why you would be here if you were, right? The second thing, the fear of success. To the person who asked me this, I want you to write this down. I am not responsible for the success of others. I am only responsible to teach them what I know. So that means that if someone is thirsty and you offer them a cup of water and they don't take it, they're not that thirsty. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. If a person says, I really want this, I really want to use your products and get great results, or I really want to build a business, but they're not willing to plug into the resources and they're not willing to use the products correctly or do whatever, then they're not that thirsty and there's nothing you can do. So if you're getting in your own way, that's why. And the biggest piece of advice I have, and when I had a coaching practice, and again, I do not do this anymore, usually within 2-3 sessions, I can help someone get rid of that. But ultimately, when you're in your own way, it's very selfish. And the person who asked that, you probably don't even think you're a selfish person. It's very selfish because you're not valuing the gifts you have. And hopefully that helps you. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So this is a question that's, everyone's asking private questions today. Tisha and Diana, oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to go to this one. Hey Susan, you've really helped me throughout this period of change. You're welcome. What's your advice to get invited to a podcast with an influencer? So how do you get on people's podcasts? So one is, it's really great to print out, you know, your kind of one page, what you have to offer to a podcast host. Number two, what are your key messages? So I'm doing this big women's show in the UK. I think it's next week or the week after. I don't know. They all blend together. But that, they reached out to me. And then that's always what they ask. You know, what are your key messages? What are your, you know, why would we want you on the show? So you need to have that deployed in one sheet. And what I would do to the person who's asking this is I would just say, you've got to treat it like prospecting. Start direct messaging all of the podcasts you want to be on. Figure out what value you can add. The other thing that podcast hosts want to know, this is always what I want to know, is how big is your audience? So I just had Matt Rush on my show, and then he did a Facebook Live and he was talking about me and, you know, the show and stuff like that. He had 20,000 views, right? So again, it goes back to the law of reciprocity. So hopefully that helps. Okay. This question is coming up. I want to know how you would suggest I move from my private practice clinic to a full-time network marketer. I want to grow a massive team and I'm willing to leave one clinic to have more time to grow. So this, I'm going to generalize because you're all in different professions. So the question is, how do I transition, say, from a job to a full-time entrepreneur? All right. And I have steps and I'm going to be very direct. Number one is it's going to be messy in phase one. So you've got to have phases with this. So in phase one, you're working your job and you're treating your side hustle like a second full-time job, which means, friends, there are going to be some really long days. There are going to be really, really long days. I run 3 companies, and some days there are really long days. I love each and every one of them. They're like my children. Very, very, very long days. And so as we were growing our startup, you know, we're pre-revenue. So I was running, you know, the Step In Your Power brand. I also had my direct sales business that has a team of over 300,000 people. I, you know, and now I start as, you know, with a startup, and first as a vice president, then the president, then the co-CEO, all pre-revenue. And so I had very long days. Now, I don't have, there's no like, oh, when the startup gets to this, then I'm stopping doing my other stuff. I've built some amazing infrastructure so I can keep getting revenue from my other two companies while I'm doing this one. Why wouldn't I, right? So sometimes it doesn't have to be one or the other, but I'm going to keep going with this vein of thought. So as we were growing this, then, you know, yes, I had a lot of years of quote unquote time freedom when I could just kind of like jump on a call or do a little bit of stuff. But there was always this piece of me that felt like I wanted to achieve something else in my professional career, right? So very, very long days, still have very long days, but I still have revenue flowing from those other two streams. And I guess the question is there a way that you could still get revenue from your clinic and eventually go full time into that side hustle network marketing business? Probably, if you think about it. So in phase one, it's messy. You're doing both. If you're bent, you're like, I'm out of here. I'm out of the clinic. I don't want to do this anymore. Then what you have to save up is a minimum of 6 to 12 months of revenue so that you can pay yourself while you're building this business. Network marketing is fantastic. It's also very, very fickle. It does really well when there's an economic crisis, and it doesn't do as well when unemployment is low, when you have to navigate all the different storms in your business. So you would get 6 to 12 months saved up. You start to, before you leave the clinic, then with your team, your network marketing income has to be a minimum of 50 to 70% of what your previous income is before you go full time. That's my recommendation. So I was working back in 2003, I had a full-time job. I was the executive director of a community foundation, and I was teaching fitness classes at night. I was seeing nutrition clients. I was doing private coaching. I had a lot of stuff going on. I started my network marketing business, and it was an add-on to what I was already doing. I didn't even leave my job until I was making $10,000 a month. And so I know that probably isn't what you want to hear, but I just have to lay it out directly. And one of the things I specialize in coaching is, when do I leave my job to pursue my passion of painting or pursue my passion of, growing my consulting business or network marketing or whatever the question is, right? So hopefully that answers that. Okay. So there's a question, you know, what programs and services allow you to watermark, close caption, and put your name on Facebook Live videos? So there's a couple of things you can do. Facebook is doing some different things right now where they are changing stuff up with their Creator Studio. And then on top of it, Chrome did an update. So I wasn't actually able to do Facebook Lives. And I have been doing my live show for years. So I am now of the opinion that recording your video and then releasing it as a premiere allows you to make that video look really, really, really good. And so what I would suggest you do is record the video, then you could run it through rev.com, the other to close caption it. The other, there are some great programs out there. I have to think about what our team is using right now. Render Forest is a great program. So you can create intros and outros and bumpers for your video. If you look at my Bulletproof Monday that I released, or the one I released last week, it has the bumpers, the intro, outro, that kind of thing. And so you can put the videos together in that way, which is a great way to do it. If you're just doing your organic lives you're going in, it's raw and real, Facebook will allow you to upload your own captions into the Creator Studio as well. So it just depends which way you want to go. Okay. Render Forest, Teresa. Yes, Render Forest. These are all great questions. Okay, let me see if I've missed any question. Okay. Someone is asking about, when is it time to hire a business coach, or who would I recommend as a business coach? So one of the quick things I would suggest when it comes to hiring a coach is a specialist not a generalist. Okay. So let's just get very, very specific here. So when I decided that I wanted to become a professional triathlete, I hired a swim coach, a running coach, and a cycling coach because they're three different sports. And I was a horrible swimmer. Like it was not pretty. That's all it was. I looked like, I don't even know what I looked like. I think I looked like, I don't even know. It was just not pretty at all. So anyhow, I could swim, but not race swim. So I joined a master's team. I got a coach and I actually competed in the Canadian Master Swim Championships. Some of you don't know that. And then I got really fast on the bike. My first race, I came in almost last on the bike. And the very next year, a year of coaching, I was like just destroying everyone. And then, which is like a triathlon term, not literally. And then my running got really, really good. And I became in the top five in North America for duathlon. That's run, bike, run. And then I was consistently my very first triathlon out. After a year of coaching, I went pro from duathlon to triathlon and I came top 10 in the Canadian long course championships and got my pro card in triathlon. So the reason I mention all of this, thanks, Corey. The reason I mention all of this is because when you're looking for a coach, don't hire a coach who has not achieved in the arena you want to achieve in. Why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. It's all theory. If I had to have surgery, I would want a surgeon, not a general practitioner. And if I had to have surgery, God forbid that something happened to my hand, my friend Josh is like the best hand surgeon in the state of Arizona. I would want Josh to operate on me, not a general surgeon. Okay. And when I see the problem is with some coaches is that I see a lot of people in network marketing specifically hire network marketing coaches who have actually never achieved anything in network marketing, or they hire general life coaches who don't know anything about network marketing. So I'm not going to, I would say, you know, if you're in network marketing, you know, one of my closest friends is Todd Falcone. He's an excellent network marketing coach and he's built in network marketing before. He's fantastic. And tell him I sent you. You know, he's one of my dear, dear, dear friends. I've known him for years. If you're looking for a specialist in the realm of coaching, then, you know, there are lots of coaching databases that you can take a look at. You know, you can Google exactly what kind of coach that it is that you need. And here's the thing that I would say. So one of the services that we do offer at the agency, which is essentially me coaching you, is our business blueprint program. That is where I look at your business. We take all the pieces apart. We put it back together in a plan. And it's not for me, even though I'm certified to do this, to help you break through what's holding you back. It's to help to get your business in a place that it has the structure and function from the vantage point of how do I get people to pay attention to my business, to why am I doing this, to how does that make sense? And so that's the, you know, that's one thing. I shouldn't say I don't work with people personally. That's the one thing that I do. One of the questions that just came in the chat is about the avatar. Okay. So the customer avatar, let's have a discussion about this because this is relevant to every one of you in business. The customer avatar is your ideal customer. That ideal customer. So Diana and Tisha and I spend a lot of time at the agency talking about who is our ideal customer and why can we help them? What can we be world-class at, right? And why does it matter? Why would they want to work with us? So the avatar, whether regardless of the kind of business you're in, is very, very important because it wasn't as important as it became since 2008. And here's why. On your social media, your customer avatar, it's like attracts like. So if you are super positive on social media, the negative people don't tend to follow you, or you just block them because they say stupid things. If you're, you know, super positive, you're going to get a lot of positive people that follow you. If your message is about health, you're going to get a lot of people that follow you around health. I have a friend who's, she's got several thousand followers on Instagram, and she is a personal trainer, and her brand is really for women who are over 50. And she can do one post and get as many likes and comments as someone with 10 times her number of followers. And I recently said to her, I'm like, Kim, how'd you do during the shutdown? She's like, Ashley, my business was booming. It was fantastic. Why? Because she decided to niche down. Every company, every business has got to have a niche. If you don't have a niche, I'll say this. If you try to sell to everyone, you're selling to no one. If you try to sell to everyone, you're selling to no one. When I first started in the network marketing space, I said my avatar are women, and my goal is to co-create 10 six-figure women. And I really focused on women who were 30 plus, 30 to 50. And guess what? That's what I got, right? So I can't stress this enough. You've got to have an avatar. Deanna, in her flooring business, her avatar is going to be someone who's looking for flooring and has a budget to pay for it. And so how she directs her ads is going to be very relevant to that particular customer avatar. Deanna, did you want to jump out and say something?
I can, but yeah, we've had to niche down too here. Our business, we were essential, so we never ended up closing. But then we ran into another problem where so many places did close. We got all those overflow customers, which we were not prepared for. And so we're picking and choosing. We're niching down. We're just saying, hey, we're not real strong here, but we are really strong here. So we're going to help these customers we know we can service to the best of our ability. Yeah. So that has really helped me. And I have really just enjoyed all this encouragement and all the questions from everybody every Friday. It's been a real good uplift. I look forward to it every week. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks, Deanna. Thank you. And I truly appreciate you. I do. We are, this is the last weekly session for our agency members. I will be coaching you. I'm going to do something I've never done. So for agency members, we are going to have coaching with Susan. It's going to be like this coaching. Don't ask me to build a complex campaign. That is not my specialty. That is Renee or Diana, not me. But I will be doing this for our agency clients. So you guys aren't done. We're as Chris Hogan says, we're focused, not finished, right? Several of you have messaged me about the business blueprint program. Just go to agencyaid.com and then just send us a message. That would be great. And because we don't just, people can't just go buy it. And I'll just be very clear. We do spend 90 minutes to 2 hours in the initial session. And then we run your website, some different things through some different analytics. And then we meet again and we go over what that plan is in going forward. And I always guarantee that I'll give you three things that are free to do and three things that might involve paid traffic. So it's just a, yeah, it's just, it's a combination. All right. Someone's asking this. How do you reach out to contacts that you haven't spoken to in a few years, but you don't really have a relationship with them? And yeah, and that's just what I said at the beginning. Use the three-step process, right? Number one is phase one is be a good human. Just reach out. Oh my gosh, I know we haven't spoken in a few years. I just want to see how you're doing. I'm reaching out to a bunch of people. Love to reconnect. Number two, get them onto a phone call, a Zoom, a FaceTime, something. Test their temperature. Find out how they're going. Do some relationship rebuilding. And then when the time is right, it's great to ask for referrals. Let me share a quick story. So my friend Mike is a trainer, and I hadn't spoken to Mike in a few years, but he was on my mind. It just, you know, life stuff. I work with lots and lots of people, but anyway, so when they shut down our state, I reached out to him because he was a trainer. And I was like, hey, how are you doing? Checking in on you. And we start, I was like, so sorry. I've been thinking of you. I haven't reached out. So we start this text dialogue and then we get into a, you know, and then I said, hey, let's catch up. So then we book a conversation and Chris and I, my husband, we're chatting with him. And then, you know, this goes on for a couple weeks because I genuinely was concerned about him. His girlfriend is a massage therapist. And so finally, after a couple weeks, I said, hey, are you open to revisiting our business conversation, you know, that we had had? And so we did, and he got started. And so, yeah, and we're having dinner with him tomorrow night. So that's how I would, that's okay, Christina. That's how I, that just to give you that perspective, that's how I did it. Okay. So hopefully that answers that. Does anyone else have a question? Does anyone else? These are such great questions. I'd love in the chat right now, what's something, just from me answering questions, what's something that you're receiving? You know, maybe you had a bit of an aha, maybe there's a tip you've taken away. I'd love to hear, what are some of the things? Customer avatar. And if I missed your question, just private message me because there are so many questions. I might not get to all of them. I'm not responsible for the health of others. I'm responsible to teach them. Yeah, you're not responsible for the success of others, the success of others, the fear of success, podcasting. Yeah. And at our event, the Ultimate Marketing Experience, Casey, you're going to learn how to podcast from the top podcaster in his category in the world. You're going to learn YouTube from someone who makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in YouTube revenue, Jeffrey. You're going to learn, you know, how to successfully run ads on Instagram and Facebook by someone who successfully runs ads on Instagram and Facebook. I mean, this is, you know, I'm so excited about the event and I want to do another plug for the event. So that the, you know, the big thing, if you are interested in the event, go to agency8.com, go under events, the Ultimate Marketing Experience. I think I can only sell like maybe 12 tickets. You can pay a deposit of $297, do three payments. We don't care. We want you there. You're going to build your business. It is a tax write-off. It's going to be incredible. Like, I am so excited for this event. It's the event we created that I would want to go to. I just don't want to go to another event where I sit in a room and take notes and then I go back to my life and I don't do anything. How many of you can relate to that? You've been to an event, you've like taken massive notes, you took photos of slides, and then you go back to your life and nothing gets done. At this event, we teach you. And then you have a break and you work and then you come back and it's like you get coached on your work, not ever criticized, but just improving. And then you work and then, you know, so on and so forth. It's going to be incredible, 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 incredible. So it is September 24th to 27th here in Phoenix, Arizona. Get your ticket. Just $297 is your deposit. 3.5 days. We have a lot of fun as well. There's, you know, every single day we leave you a gift on your workspace. We're going to space you all out. It's going to be amazing. You get so much work done. Thank you, Deanna. Yeah, we're in a whole rebrand there. Okay. So, all right. I want to, I'm going to take this final question because it's a great question. So how do you build your audience? How do you build your audience? So we've had a lot of questions on this. And so buying followers is never a good idea because Instagram, their AI, Facebook's AI, they know that you bought the followers and they aren't quality followers. So what Facebook looks at is the quality of the engagement that you're getting. And so I'm going to give you a few tips. So number one, define your avatar. Who is your avatar? Number two is create daily content that is of interest to your avatar, right? So what is that daily content? And what platform are you going to focus on? All of the people, like I have almost 700,000 followers on my Facebook fan page. Because Facebook has been the place where I've put the most time, effort, and energy, not so much in Instagram, because a lot of my avatar is 40 plus and almost all of them are on Facebook, right? They're all on Facebook. They're sharing their birthdays. They're sharing that their aging parents are not doing well. They just got a new puppy. That's where they all are. Now, it doesn't mean I don't do some stuff on Instagram, posted there today. Maybe that's why you're here, but you've got to pick your platform. You got to know your avatar. You've got to do content, and ideally you're doing a piece of content, one to do quality pieces a day, and then you've got to engage with the people who are engaging with you. So you have to treat social media like a job, right? You put on your social media hat and you're like, okay, I'm doing 30 minutes in the morning. I'm doing 30 minutes in the afternoon. My goal, my end game goal is not how many followers I have on social media. My end game goal is how many people I have on my list. How many subscribers do I have on my list? Because I know down to the penny how much money I make per subscriber on my list. And so what I'm always wanting to do, and what my whole team will tell you is, and I say this in our staff meeting every Monday, how are we growing the list this week? How are we growing the list this week? How are we growing the list this week? Right? So that's what I would say. You know, it's not just about your followers. It's really about your list size. And that's what Diana's like, yes, she does. And that's why at Agency 8, we're all about how big is your list? How big is your list? How big is your list? Neil Patel, use him as an example. Neil Patel, his mailing list is so huge that the moment he deploys a program, he can make millions of dollars in 24 hours. So I want you all to think about that, you know. So in order to, we do this more at UME, the Ultimate Marketing Experience, in day one in my keynote, I'm actually showing you how to do that, to, you know, start to bring people, migrate people from social media onto your list. And the thing I want you to understand is if you're building your brand only on social media, it's like building your dream home on rented land. You could get kicked off of TikTok. Someone I know just did this week. You could get blacked out from Instagram. One of my good friends got a blackout on Instagram. He's a very famous podcast host and Instagram influencer. They shut him out of his account for 5 days. You could get blacked out from Facebook. It happened to me. I don't even know why. It was weird, but you know, it's so hard to talk to a human. You have to go to a review. So if you're only focused on that, that's a problem. So your list, your list, your list. And so the final thing I'll say is if you have never started to really focus on that back end of your business, you know, like you perhaps are, you know, posting on social media, you're starting to get a following, but you know that you're communicating out on social media is like competing with a lot of other people, you may want to explore joining the agency, because that's the number one thing we focus on is grow your list, grow your list, grow your list. One of our best examples of a client, Jessica likewise, is here today. Jessica, from day one with the agency, she's been with us since we opened, which was back in 2017. Jessica has been focused on growing her list, growing her list, growing her list. She is the most coachable client I've ever worked with. She got herself quoted in Forbes. She got herself quoted in the New York Times within the span of a month. And it's constantly about her list. So when Jess does put out her book, when she puts out a new course, she has a list to deploy to. Okay. And so that's what I want everyone to understand. Your list, your list, your list. And at the agency, we don't really work with people who just want to focus on posting the odd thing on their Facebook personal page because they don't get it. Starting in August, we will be having a social media specialist who will run accounts. Now, this is for businesses. So my daughter Avery will be joining the agency. And generally speaking, for someone of her skills and talents, you know, if you're going to be a retainer client for her, you'd have to have some very, you'd have to be like an up and running business, because she will literally take over your Instagram account and run it, and it'll be amazing. If you're uncertain about Instagram, we have a course. Maybe Tisha can post it. So we have a course that Avery did on Instagram, and it's how to grow your Instagram following. Tisha, how much is the course? I don't even know. They're like, Susan doesn't really know anything. No, I'm just kidding. I do. But they know these things. So we have a course, and you can learn on demand. It's Avery's course. It's excellent. Diana, do you know? Who knows how much it is? But you can go and check it out. It's on susansly.com/Avery Sly. So Tisha just posted the link there. And so you can take her course. Tisha will probably post how much it costs. I don't know the answer to that. But check it out. And Avery is going to teach a TikTok course this summer. And it's probably going to be 3 sessions. So you can learn about TikTok and really understand the platform. I think she's up to 300,000 followers. And, you know, so she gets brand endorsements. She also works with brands to get endorsements for them. So, which is fantastic. So those are some things coming up as well. So I'll just finish with this. First and foremost, thank you all for being here. Hopefully you got some great value today out of this. I love doing live Q&A. It's like my favorite thing to do. We decided just as, oh yes, $39.97. Thank you, Cassie. High five. Someone put it in. Yes, $39. There we go. You know, one of the things that, you know, as people started to go back to work, we weren't having the same attendance as when people were at home. So one of the things, as I said, like I would love to serve you. If this is valuable to you, I will consider keeping these open, and we might not do them every single week. But if you could just do me a favor and give me a shout out on either Instagram, would be the preferable one, just a story, what you received today would be amazing. Or in where I posted the link today would be really helpful. You could also give me a shout out on Facebook. Let me know, because if it is valuable, I'll keep going. I'll keep going with live Q&A. As I said, it might not be every single week, but I would love to serve you. And, you know, and I can promise you this information comes from years and years and years of doing what I've been doing, right? So give me a shout out on social. I would love to have that. And with that, you can always catch up on my podcast, The Susan Sly Project, on some great trainings. And so with that, have an amazing weekend, everybody. Have, you know, you guys are awesome. Great questions. Thank you so much. It's great to see every one of you. And hopefully, you know, I would love to work with you all in the future. I hope you're going to come to Ultimate Marketing Experience. Get your ticket. As I said, only 12 left. So we'd love to have you there. All right. With that, God bless. Take care, everyone. Have a great week.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.